I'm Steve Potter. This is Cityscape. And coming up a little bit later, a free cab ride could be in your future. If you haven't heard about Lucky Lou, you will. Stay with us for that. But time now for our monthly segment in partnership with Sauce Magazine, Sound Bites. You know, we're all taught from an early age the importance of good nutrition. You know, you are what you eat. You've heard that. And it's common sense that food grown close to home is better, better in taste, and better for you. Well, today we introduce you to representatives of Fields Foods and Fair Shares to discuss the concept of community-supported agriculture. And before we meet them, I'd like to welcome Sauce Magazine's executive editor, LaGaia Figueres. Hi, LaGaia.
Hello, Steve. Thanks for having us back again.
So in a few minutes, we're going to learn about a couple of organizations that make local fresh food available to consumers here. But let's start this way.
Okay.
I thought I was buying fresh food. When I go into the big chain supermarkets, if I'm there in the produce section, I'm looking around and there are piles of vegetables and fruit and things. And I just assume it's all from down the street.
I don't think that you should assume that. Fresh is great. And yes, you are right. If you are buying fresh produce, yes, it's fresh. But there is a difference when you can get something that is grown nearby. It's going to be fresher. It's more sustainable. You're supporting the local food community. So there are quite a number of reasons.
And this is a trend, I guess, that's been going on for a while. In fact, in the February issue of Sauce Magazine, you did a bunch of articles sort of related to all this.
Yeah, we took a little bit of time in winter to think about farming. We did a feature story on female farmers. There are some women who kind of are it's outside the traditional farming system where you would see, you know, a male who's in that primary role of farmer. We interviewed one of the guests who's here today. I interviewed her and her husband, and Sarah's the co-founder of a local CSA. And also in our hit list, we did include Fields Foods, which is hit list is where we talk about new places to try. Usually those might be a restaurant or a bar. And in this case, we thought it was really important to let people know that this grocery store was opening. And yeah, even in our editor letter, there's this fun picture of me and my husband and our four chickens because we are urban farmers, too. So, right. Yeah, we thought a little bit about farming in the February issue.
Well, let's introduce our guest now. We have Sarah Hale. She's the co-founder of Fair Shares. Sarah, good day to you. And Jeffrey Randall, co-founder of Fields Foods. Nice
Hi,
to
Steve.
Meet you.
Likewise.
So would you comment a little bit on what LaGaia and I have been discussing and where your companies fit into all this? Sarah, I'll begin with you.
Sure. We started Fair Shares as we're wrapping up our sixth season because we were involved with Slow Food, which is an international organization that really focuses on the importance of knowing where your food came from because it brings accountability and there's all sorts of food safety issues that help, you know, make it – you understand where your food comes from. You know your farmer. You know that there's some integrity into the food that you're getting. And with all of the spinach that is being recalled and all of the sort of scary things in the news that we read about all of the vegetables out there, we thought, you know, we should really make this more accessible to people in St. Louis.
But Fair Shares isn't a store per se.
No, we're a membership-only sort of CSA. So through that, we are able to really connect with farmers and let them showcase their food to our members.
Well, Jeffrey Randall, tell me about Fields Foods. I've seen that, and not just in Sauce Magazine, a few other places recently. You're filling a special little market, a growing market, aren't you?
We are attempting to, yes. So we're kind of a twofold mission. One is to bring food into food deserts. We're focused on food security, bringing, you know, product in where people don't have access to it. And secondly would be to support the local farming community, growers, producers as well, and not just growing, you know, those that are value-added producers in this area. So if we can bring our purchasing power from the community to bear on the local growers, then we're able to aggregate their product and have hopefully a greater impact on them as well.
I wanted to invite our listeners to join us because this is a subject, a topic that a lot of people are really interested in these days. So if you have a question for our guests or a comment about the concept, give us a call at 382-8255. That's area code 314-382-8255, 382-TALK, or you can contact us at STL Public Radio farmingfreedom.org. Well, let's talk about that term that I used earlier, and I'll be quite frank, I hadn't heard it before. Community-supported agriculture, CSAs. So is it a relatively new term?
No, actually not.
I don't think that I would call it relatively new. Maybe for some St. Louisans, the idea is new. And certainly CSAs are growing in St. Louis. By our count, there are at least 14 CSAs. And actually, I should mention that SAWS has posted on its website this morning a list of all the CSAs in St. Louis. So if people go to sawsmagazine.com/blog, they'll be able to get a list of CSAs. But we can talk a little bit about what is a CSA. And also, Sarah's is slightly different in that she is a CCSA. So if you want to explain
sure.
a little bit, Sarah.
A traditional CSA is a single farm who takes members, and the members pay into the program. They become sort of shareholders, and they then they're basically providing the seed money for the farmers so that they can get up and running for the season, get their plants in, and get their crops going. Then during the harvest, they receive a box of whatever that farm is growing for the season. And we were members of a CSA, and we would pick our CSA box up at the Schlafly Market in Maplewood. And while we were there, we would go and shop from all the other farmers. And we thought, wouldn't it be a fantastic idea if we could get our meat and our cheese and our eggs and all that in the CSA? And that's so we started a combined CSA. So we're not actually the growers. We contract with farmers, and they grow for us, and we include the meat, and we include cheese, and primarily all of our growers and vendors are within 100 miles, except for like cheese and meat and that. You know, pastured animals require more room, so that's not going to be so close within our area. But we, as CSA members, were really disappointed when the season ended and when the markets ended, and we knew that we had met a lot of the farmers through the slow food thing, and decided that we wanted to get some of their food later into the season because we knew they were growing longer.
So, Jeffrey, is Fields Foods sort of like a CSA only with four walls?
It's good. And I was thinking as Sarah is speaking, we really do a lot of the same thing. We just kind of expand the product mix so that people in the nearby community can purchase more than what's locally grown. Currently, we have about 150 local vendors under roof, which represents about 15% of our product mix.
And you have a new store, don't you?
That's right. We just opened up January 4th, and Lafayette Square.
Lafayette Square. Mm-hmm. And you have others here in town?
Nope. This is our first. We're looking at other sites in St. Louis as well.
Well, there's another store that's a chain store that I go to every once in a while, and they're known for having more organic mm-hmm. Products. Is it similar to what I'm thinking about?
Similar. We have a lot of on the natural side. We try and hit our mix about 50% being on the natural, which would be your gluten-free and organic and non-GMO, and local fits into that. Local is really our front and center. The other 50% is, let's say, more the commodity side. So being in a food desert, we have to be sensitive to the economic dictates as well as the dietary requirements of our population. So we have a broad mix of product, yes.
I think it's kind of interesting, Steve, when you mentioned another grocery store, just what grocery stores are carrying these days, and that now more than ever you can go to grocery stores and you might see those labels saying, this is from a farm in Illinois, or these peaches are from, Calhoun County. And one of the first grocery stores that I can recall really having this type of mission to support local farmers and growers is Local Harvest. And I think that they were actually on KWMU perhaps last week. They've been real pioneers for St. Louis in this locavore movement. I know that their goal is to source 50% of their inventory, their inventory from within a 150-mile radius of St. Louis. And they recently had some issues in terms of finances. So they came to the community and were able to raise over $100,000 to stay afloat. That's mm-hmm. on Morgan Ford. So what's neat is, we have Fields Foods, which is a full-service grocery store, as opposed to Local Harvest is much smaller. But it's exciting when you see more places where you can find local products
and
available.
What about the cost of eating healthy? One thing I always understood, maybe incorrectly, was that lots of time people with poor eating habits are eating that way because money is a factor and it's cheaper to eat things that aren't as good for you. So does that come into your thinking at all and how you approach it?
It's certainly something we have to be sensitive to in our store for sure. We also process food, so we're able to buy from the farms seconds as well as the first, and we're able to average down our price so that we can bring in product at a more affordable point. You know, a lot of people think of local as being overpriced because of the farm market, you know, where they can take their product and get a higher retail price on it. But we really work with the farmers in Acero saying, you know, they're able to contract with the farms. We like to do the same so that the farmers can do what they do best, which is grow product and not just take it to the farm market and hit it at a higher price. So we get some pretty good prices by averaging down.
Do you have thoughts along those lines?
Oh, I have so many thoughts along those lines. I think it really plays to the bigger picture of how food is made so cheaply because of all of the commodity farming and all of the government, what am I trying to say?
They're subsidized.
Thank you. They get all sorts of subsidies from the government that small food growers, food growers don't get these subsidies. So It has created this false sense of food being cheap because that it's supposed to be cheap. So all of the processed foods that are in the market today are all from farms that have been subsidized as opposed to the good, healthy food.
So cheap and unhealthy.
Cheap and unhealthy. And the government, the whole food system really just pushes everyone towards that. And it's all that low-income families can afford. And it's a sad thing because the farmers who are really growing healthy food are not getting anything. They can't get anything for it.
Yeah, I'd be really curious to know what our audience is thinking about this whole issue, maybe what their experiences are, what they'd like to see, or maybe they're just curious and want to know what's out there. What do you think some of the questions might be if we hear from our listeners today? What should they be?
Well, I mean, if you wanted to start with in terms of how can I afford it? I don't have that much money. There are a few solutions. Sarah, with her CSA, they haven't raised the price since you started. A share is $50. You get $50 worth of food a week. And you know, I don't have this great salary. I'm just a journalist, you know. And so my solution is I want to support the local community. How can I do that on my budget? And that is really appreciating those things. I don't buy a ton of it. I can't afford a ton of this hunk of cheese. I'll just get a smaller amount and really savor it.
Jeffrey, what would be good questions for you?
We keep talking about how local is healthy. You know, if I were a listener, I might be curious about why it really is healthy. Or is that just some kind of spin marketing? What's it mean?
Because I don't necessarily believe labels, do you?
No, I don't.
Say healthy on a label. What does that mean?
Exactly.
We're going to take a short break, but if you at home would like to get in on this and explore this topic that we're talking about today, community-supported agriculture with Fair Shares and Fields Foods, please feel free to give us a call. It's area code 314-382-8255. Your questions or comments, 382-TALK, or you can contact us at stlpublicradio.org, and we'll continue with sound bites right after this. Well, we continue now with our soundbite segment. We're talking about community-supported agriculture from Sauce Magazine, LaGaia Figueres, from Fair Shares, Sarah Hale, and from Fields Foods, Jeffrey Randall. And Fields has just opened a new store in the Lafayette Square neighborhood. And you're open for business now, right?
We are, since January 4th.
How's it gone so far?
It's still going great. We're having a lot of fun.
382-8255, 382-TALK, if you have a question or a comment. And one thing before we take a call, is this an urban thing? Because if you're out, living in the middle of Missouri, I would think maybe you have access to a lot of fresh foods to begin with. So is it more a question of people living in a metropolitan area where you don't have, you know, you don't have a farmer's market down the street, or maybe you don't have room in your backyard to grow a tomato?
I guess it's an – I don't know if that's an urban thing. I really don't have an answer for that. I think it's more of a 21st century thing, perhaps. I mean, way back when, I don't think that there were nearly the questions that we ask about farms. Those weren't the same questions that we're asking now. Mm-hmm. You know, when Sarah does talk about food safety, I don't think people we weren't doing the same thing to the soil back then.
Well,
as
let me
we
ask that to Jeffrey then. Since you've got the business, you've got the actual store. It's here because St. Louis is in an urban area. That's why you decided to open up shop here, right?
That's true. And it gives us the purchasing power But I think, you know, you see a trend. It was a trend for organic for a while. Everybody's pushing that. The trend now is local. People are understanding that local is more nutritious. It's healthier. It tastes better. And if it can be, you know, brought in from the urban market to from the rural to an urban, then, you know, we got the best of both worlds.
Well, let's see what our listeners have on their minds. How about that? We'll begin with Dan from Belleville. Hi, Dan. You're on Cityscape. Go right ahead.
Hey, good afternoon. I was just calling about the frozen vegetable market. I try to stay away from canned goods. I try to eat fresh whenever possible, but I also realize that fresh foods, once they have a particular shelf time on them, they start to lose their vitamins and become second best. And also about maybe meat products that are supposedly fresh frozen. Could you help me with that, please?
I'd be happy to jump in on that one. It's a great question. We have installed a blast freezer in our facility. Part of that, the concept there is that let's take the example of strawberries, and we like to sell to schools as well. So getting fresh strawberries during the school season doesn't always work. If we can do a blast freezing process, bag it, and then extend the the growing period, if you would, or the selling period for strawberries, that's a way to bring fresh local into the market on an extended basis.
Freezing seems to work better with fruit than vegetables, in my mind.
I agree.
Do you?
Yeah. The freezing process is really the key, and a blast freezing is something that does it real quick so that, you know, it keeps it crisper and fresher.
Let's go to somewhere in southeast Missouri. Don't know where. Nancy, where are you calling from, Nancy?
Calling from Donovan, Missouri.
Oh, great. Well, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Well, I heard the question, is local healthy? And because my job entails working with farmers, I wanted to try to answer that question.
Go ahead.
First of all, I think that the most obvious part of the answer is the shorter distance that food travels. For example, the carrots that you might get at the store in a plastic bag that have been shipped in might be as old as 3 weeks old. And if you know how long vitamins last, you know that carrot probably doesn't even have any vitamins left at all. And that's kind of the situation that people who are forced to eat food that comes long distances, that they're forced into that kind of low-nutrient kind of eating. And then the other thing that I think that I'm involved with so much in my own work is that with local, the consumers can meet the farmers, and the farmers have an accountability to the consumer that a large agribusiness in California isn't going to have. I just got through writing a grant for a local business that's 30 miles from St. Louis that produces yogurt. I'm sure Sarah knows what I'm talking about.
Dairy.
She was kind enough to write a wonderful letter in support of this. But in the process of working with them, I discovered that they've been motivated to become certified organic through the whole local system, meeting the consumers, learning what they want, and responding to the possibility of getting higher price points as well for that.
Thanks for your call, Nancy. Any comments?
Well, actually, just to continue on a little bit in eating local. And when you talk about education, one of the things that happens when you start to eat local, you realize you're eating in season. What's in season? Some people don't know when is tomato season. When is an eggplant in season? Because when you go to a grocery store and you see it week after week after week, you don't know. But when you start to support local, that tomato in the height of, you know, of in August, oh, my gosh, you know, a tomato is going to taste different in the winter than it does in the summer.
Well,
not in season.
I'll argue the ones you buy now have no taste.
They have zero
and
taste.
Where are they from, Mexico?
That's true, although, we have some local farmers who have greenhouses and are growing tomatoes for us now. But, you know, that's a really good point. And I also wanted to point out that food that is grown locally and are allowed to ripen on the vine is getting the full nutrition of all of the minerals and vitamins, and you can't compare that to what's shipped, picked green and shipped far away.
Mike is calling from St. Louis. You're on Cityscape. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I'm a teacher at St. Louis University in the Department of Nutrition and Dietetics, and we cheers to what you all are doing. We think it's great. We try to support community agriculture as well. We have a restaurant called Fresh Gatherings Cafe where we source 50% of all the food we serve our students locally. And I would like to kind of add on to what one of your guests was talking about, the commodity subsidies. And just to share with your audience, really what that means is that there are certain products that our government pays a lot of money for. And the giant row crop corn and soybeans and wheat are examples. And the profit that a farmer will make will be subsidized by as much as 50%. And basically what that means in terms of that affordability of food is that the corn that's grown that's so highly subsidized is what goes to feed the cheap type of beef. And so that's where you have your fast food restaurants have the wheat, the corn sugar that's going in the soda pops, and the cheap beef that becomes hamburgers and taco meat and those kinds of things. It's because of the huge government subsidies that the prices of those things get driven down where you can buy a giant meal of some kind for, you know, like $3, whereas the local person who's growing carrots and these wonderful tomatoes and things you guys are talking about, our government does not support that. And that's why you get that price discrepancy if you want to go buy that wonderful eggplant as opposed to buying a bag of fast food.
Thanks for your call, Mike. Let's work in one more from Washington, Missouri. This is Todd. You're on the air.
Good morning or good afternoon. The CSAs and the local grocers like Fields Foods and Local Harvest gives producers like myself great avenues of getting our product straight to the consumers where the people are wanting to know where their food comes from.
I think this is Todd Geisert on the phone. Is that correct?
You are cooking.
Todd Geisert. Actually, I wanted to mention him only because we talk about a grocery store. We're talking about a CSA. There are so many ways to support local, whether it's farmers market, food co-ops, and even a farm stand. Todd, you have one of the most fun farm stands out there in Washington, Missouri. Todd is a pork producer out in that way, and fabulous product.
Well, thanks for
we have a self-serve honor system stand here where people can come get the product straight here at the farm and that. But you know, we also deliver it to the people like the Fair Shares and Local Harvest and Field Foods and there's numerous other people, you know, besides restaurants and that kind of stuff. But it, you know, more and more people are wanting to know where their food's coming from and how it's handled and how it's taken care of and what we do with it.
Right. Thanks for your call, Todd. And before we're out of time, Sarah, I know you just brought a little show and tell with you. I'm looking at what you have here in front of you.
I did. I brought some cheese from a producer called Prairie Fruits Farm, and I think we are probably the only outlet for them right now. They're not a big producer, and we get some of their wonderful cheeses. And I seem to have left the other cheese product, which was Marcoute Creamery's Quark, and I wanted to mention Marcoute because we did a fundraiser for them, a Kickstarter fundraiser to help them raise money for a cheese press and in order to include more local products. They wanted to make a beer cheese and they needed a cheese press for it. And I also brought some companion bread that utilizes some local flour. And
Jeffrey Randall, one final question for you before we're out of time here. As far as Fields Foods goes, what's your going to be your – you've said you've been open since January in St. Louis. So what do you think your biggest challenge is getting into this market for what you're doing?
Exposure, you know, letting people know, bringing in more product. Like I said, we have 150 vendors under roof now. We're, you know, growing that list. I think that, you know, that's probably the largest, you know, challenge for us. But creating a great shopping experience is just, you know, in closing, we have a wine bar. People can come and they can grab a glass of wine or beer and drink as they shop.
Wait, there's even a little wine caddy on your carts, right?
That there is.
And, interesting concept.
It's Friday, Steve. Where are you headed at 4 o'clock?
I feel this urge to go shopping.
Date night. And we will do the shopping for you while you sit at the bar.
That's Jeffrey Randall. He's a co-founder of Fields Foods, which has just opened in Lafayette Square. Sarah Hale is here, co-founder of Fair Shares. And if you go to stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page, we'll have a link. People can find out more about your businesses. Any final thoughts quickly?
Final thoughts. This is a great week for St. Louis. We're not talking farms for our chefs and restaurants. James Beard nominees were announced, and St. Louis has 7 nominations.
That's
Yay!
That's Ilgaya Figueres. Good eating to all of you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.